Good afternoon again. We are back in the studio once again and fast and furiously approaching the Christmas, very special Christmas day. And so with that, you know, I keep thinking all these choices that we have to make when we're trying to, I'm trying to decide what to buy, who to buy what for, what to buy. I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy time of the year. And so when we talk about choices, we also have some really big choices that we make just in terms of our relationship with our Lord. And that would lead us into choices about our sacrifices. Yeah. And maybe the conflict of the loyalty.
Sure. Well, it's the last time if you were listening, we were talking about how we've been looking through Joshua 7 and how Achan made the choice. He saw the Babylonia robe, he saw the silver, he saw the gold, and he said, I saw it, I coveted it, which is I wanted it, and I took it. And the sad thing is what did he do with it? Was he able to ever let anybody know what he had?
He hid it, didn't he?
This incredible stuff that he couldn't spend it amongst the nation of Israel because they all knew it was set apart, and they all probably knew there's no way he could run around with that many shekels of silver or gold or a Babylonia robe. How did you get that, you know, elaborate robe? So within the nation, he could never do anything. So what did he do with it?
He hid it.
Buried the silver, and it was hidden in his tent. So he wanted this stuff, and it is in hiding because nobody could know. I one time had a circumstance in Texas where Greg and I, we were doing some financial counseling, and the trunk of the female's car was loaded with clothes with price tags still on it.
Oh, no.
Because she couldn't even bring them into the house. Yeah. But it's like the bill's still got to be paid when the car comes in. And so she's driving around with a car load of clothes that have tags on them in the trunk of things she's not even using. And she can't even tell him because she has spent a huge fortune. But it's in hiding.
Yeah. I had a friend that did that too.
She's going to get caught. And the thing is that when we see something, we want it, we take it and we hide it, you know, it's going to be evident.
Right.
Somehow it's going to come out. And, you know, and when it comes to credit card debt, even if she used cash, eventually he's going to know, where's that cash going? Or are you wearing a new dress?
I hate that one. No, I've had this for years.
You know, and so it's going to come out. And in this particular case, the reason it came out is the enemy was able to rout them.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. And so the loyalty that he gave to this idol really put 36 people to death.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, his own family, because he wanted something.
That wasn't even going to be enjoyed.
No. Yeah. There was no way he could ever enjoy it.
Right.
Even if he spent the gold and the silver, if he came up with that amount of sum, he would have to explain to somebody how he came upon it.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. And I think of 36 people that were killed.
Mm-hmm. Or God's protection was lifted.
Yeah.
So how in the ways that we're walking have we done things where God's protection is lifted from us?
Oh.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can see that. If you look at my photos from when I was 19, 20, when I was making the worst choices in my life, you look at my photo today, I look younger today at 44 than I did at 20 or 21. Wow. Way younger.
Wow.
Because
that stress.
The stress was on my face. You can see it. It was just like this, like, ugly. I'm like, can you just delete those photos from that season, Mom?
Yeah.
You know, because it's evident. You know, it's all over.
But, Tara, you know, the thing that I think about when we talk about stuff is how often stuff, or that we use stuff to fill a void.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, to make us feel better. Mm-hmm. Or even for Achan, I mean, it was to
puff up a little bit of pride in the heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, even though it wasn't visible. It's, right. I've got it.
Yeah. I have that security, or I have that. It's. I know where you're going
with it. It's the hole. It's the hole. It's the void. And in today's world, you know, it's how many times do we, you know, have to have the right label to, you know, feel like we fit in, or that we're filling that void. It makes us feel whole in some way when we have the best thing available to fill that void.
Right. Yeah.
And all we have to, I mean, we just have to just let him and ask him.
That's rich.
Ask him.
And you know what, Shelley, I was confronted with that within the last few weeks, and that because I'm working on my dissertation, and I'm writing about orality, I'm writing about the value of using biblical storytelling, but I'm having to do it in a setting where I'm having to use a highly literate means of communicating. I was in a circumstance in the last few weeks where I don't fit in what you would call a highly oral world, and that because I'm studying, reading, and all that stuff all the time, but I don't really fit in the highly literate world because I prefer the oral. And I was having a conversation with God. I'm like, God, I'm like in the middle of two worlds, and I'm not of either of them. Like, you know what I mean?
I feel like it don't fit in anymore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and God went back and he says, okay, that's Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has placed eternity in the hearts of man. Are you trying to put this in place of me?
Mm.
And honestly, if we are really in pursuit of God, nothing of this world will ever make us feel we belong.
Mm.
And I've been pondering it a lot, and I think this is why God brought it to mind, because I just came out of a time of going and speaking in different churches all over. And these are godly women and godly churches coming up to me and saying, I just don't feel like I fit in with my church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I belong. And after having three different locations and three different women's ministry people sharing this, I'm like, God, okay. I know they're in the will of God. I know they're walking in obedience. I've seen their testimony. I've seen their hearts. And he clearly reminded me, it's Ecclesiastes 3:11. Even when it comes to church, it's not going to fill the void. We will always have that where I do not feel like I belong to this world, because we are not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
We are to fill it with God and God alone. Mm-hmm. But it's easy, even in Christendom, for us to try to take that which is and put our loyalties to something where it should not be. It should not be to that which makes us comfortable. It should not would be whatever our responsibilities are, and it definitely should not be into relationships of this world. But we try to use all three of those to fill that.
Mm-hmm.
As good.
Yes,
that's
it
a good
is.
Point.
Uh-huh. And you know what? I just thought about something too. It's like when we do that, how many times do we, as Achan did, do we destroy not only ourselves, but the people that we love, the things around us, because of, you know, those...
The pursuit of that,
whether it be... I'm thinking more like substance abuse and, you know, alcohol. Even if it's gambling or it's like buying a closet full of clothes with the tag still on.
Yeah.
Whatever. And, you know, it's like it's not just you and that stuff. It's everything around you.
And I had the best testimony shared with me, and she asked me to share this publicly, and so I just won't share a name, but I'll tell the story. And that a young woman was sharing with me how her and her spouse did not know each other in relationship apart from addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last year, she has been sober, and for like the last 6 to 7 months, he has been sober. And I asked her, I said, well, how did you make it stop since 2005? And you're talking meth. And I go, how did you break that cycle? And for her, it was the love she had for him.
Mm.
As she saw the destruction it was doing to him, it occurred to her she had to get it right in
to
her
help him.
In order to be able to help him come out of it.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, now talk about the power of love, because God is the God of love. And God used love. and circumstances for them, he ended up one place, she ended up another place. They weren't together at their different places, and God would ordain that they ended up being at the same place.
Wow.
You know, as far as reconnecting. And so, you know, sober.
Yeah,
you're right.
As husband and wife, you know, kind of thing. And I, when I say different places, I'm talking like counties, you know, not even in the same location. And when we're willing to turn ourselves and say, okay, this is God's best. This is God's direction. This is the path that he wants. I want the cost of his presence more than I want the cost of whatever it is I think it is I need. God then shows up, and that's where he begins to orchestrate and route out and make things happen so that two people coming from two different counties from different circumstances, you know, can connect at a place that you never would have placed them when they're from another state.
But she made a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have that choice every day.
Totally. Yeah. And that's walking.
And it's an opportunity every
obedience.
Day.
I choose obedience. I choose obedience. And choosing obedience is not easy.
No, absolutely not.
And you know, and I fear I'm going to scare people away from wanting to follow the Lord. But you know what? The thing is if you go after something, that's cheap faith.
Right.
You know what? I talk to my son about this. And it's like, well, how many times do you ever hear somebody say, yeah, I gave my life to the Lord, and then, you know, my life was just horrible. I mean, you don't.
Right.
Their life is horrible if they turn away.
Yeah.
And they don't keep God at the front of it. But there's story after story, testimony after testimony, when they do make that choice, that their life
has changed.
It's changed for the better. And they start that hole. Is filled
because with it's the only one. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that can fill it
the
properly
void.
With that. Yeah, that space. It's only him.
I wish I could see Tanya's face as she's expressing that. It's pretty good. You know, as I was doing those conferences, the thing that I was teaching on was describing hell and heaven, and what Scripture has to say as far as describing the two. And one of the conferences that I had, it was with Southview Baptist Church out of Lincoln. We were in Aurora, Nebraska, and their leadership team for our group dialogue to get, you know, like icebreakers for the whole weekend, when we all showed up on a card, they told us ahead of time what we had to write out, and then we had to hand it in. And on the card, we had to write about our hellish or our most heavenly moment.
Oh.
And you guys, you know what was so cool is, for those that are in Christ, many of them described their most heavenly moment coming out of a hellish. That what was intended for evil, how God used it for their greatest blessing. It was like, wow, that is, I mean, it was like overwhelming as we listened of testimony after testimony after testimony of how God took that which what seemed was the worst and used it
for his
glory and good. And that is exactly what he said here, and that Joshua said to Achan. He said to him, oh, let me go back. I went to the wrong page. He said, praise. I was like, God, really? When Joshua, in verse 19, he says, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him praise. Tell me what you've done, and do not hide it. And as I was reading that, I thought, seriously, do you get this? Confession of sin gives glory and praise to God. But it's acknowledging to him what he already knows. Is that cool?
It's huge.
It is huge because we fight it. We get mad at somebody if they say sin is sin.
Right.
We get mad if it's confronted in our lives, but yet we see here very clearly that God made him confront it in a very public means.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I think we cower as Christians in confronting that which needs to be confronted in our lives.
Yeah.
And I think that that is the reason why we are weaker than we are weak. We are not what we should be. And I'm not talking about when we are weak, he is strong. I'm talking about weak as in not walking in the strength that he has given us.
Right. Too worried maybe about what man thinks or mm-hmm. our pride or whatever.
Or using self-help pop psychology.
To get out of it. And really, we need to just come to our point in understanding our need of him.
Confess your sin.
And not just in the beginning when we receive him as Lord and Savior, but every single second of the day. Yeah. We just need a better understanding of what we're really made of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and we're all on a journey.
Yeah.
And so even though, you know, we make that choice, God is going to work on us every single second of every day. And so, I mean,
as long as we give him the opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like we may go up and we may go back and it's a process.
Absolutely. And a journey.
So
yeah.
I don't want people to think that that once they accept Christ that their life is going to be
perfect.
all this stuff is going to go away. Yeah. And it's not.
The test increases, actually.
Yeah.
It does.
And it will.
A lifetime.
It's a process and a journey, a long journey.
I think I'm going to say a lifetime of purging.
There you go. Well, that's the reason why it's called we're justified by Christ. That's he died on the cross for our sins. But we are sanctified takes the entire life,
mm-hmm.
the process of holiness. We don't get the glorification until we go to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's the reason why. And I think we forget about that process. Or we may have not had it explained to us. We don't realize we're in the process of becoming holy. Mm-hmm. You know, he has justified us, but we still have that process of becoming. My friend Marian Janes used to say to me, and she goes, why is it that we think when you're 45 years old and you become a Christian that, okay, boom, I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be a 45-year-old holy person.
Right.
You have 45 years of walking as a sinful person that you have got to have the Lord work and shed. And, you know, and some people will spiritually mature faster,
mm-hmm.
and some it takes a little more. But the thing is God's patient.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And obviously, he was extremely patient because he could have struck Achan.
Yes.
But he didn't. Yeah. He went through the process because he used it as a lesson to teach the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I come to that question that, you know, it's like, how am I robbing God?
Mm.
We just have a few seconds left, and I want you to be pondering that and come back next week because I want us to open up with how am I in my choices of what I'm bringing into my presence, robbing God? What in my life is robbing me of the presence of God? Because when we start evaluating our choices based on that, we'll find that we don't have as many problems as we did before. Now, we're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org, opendoormission.org, or tarawrye.com.